Our final story begins August 7th, 1974, New York City.
It started out as another routine morning for a New York helicopter traffic reporter, but he had more to tell his radio listeners than how the traffic was on the West Side Highway.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a very queasy feeling in my stomach right now because I'm at, 1,500 feet. And up here at 1,500 feet or in that area, there is somebody out there in a tightrope walk between the two towers of the World Trade Center right at the tippy top.
That somebody was Philippe Petit, a 24-year-old Frenchman, doing his higher wire act 1,350 feet up and no net below.
Certainly, to enter a world of terror, you should not be pushed by someone. You should be called, you should be curious, you should have the heart of an explorer.
He and some associates managed to hide out in the World Trade Center towers overnight, and early this morning rigged a 140-foot steel cable between the two buildings using some sort of crossbow device.
I have been often passing the threshold of the impossible, because the impossible is a human invention. Whenever man goes through or to those apparent limits, if you're being called, it's not as bad as if you're being forced.
Sergeant Charles Daniels, who talked Petit off the high wire, called it a first-rate performance.
He was bouncing up and down. His feet were actually leaving the wire. And then he would go down on one knee and lay down on his back and just completely relax and swing one of his legs over the wire as if he wanted to just take a little nap.
As spectacular sights go, how would you rate this one?
Supreme. The apex of excitement.
You may know this story. It was the subject of an Oscar-winning film called Man on Wire. And in it, French wire walker Philippe Petit went quite literally to the edge of the World Trade Center and stepped off.
To the edge, that sounds tailored for me.
Philippe was 24 years old when he made that walk between the Twin Towers, and we'll get to the why in a moment. But first, from Philippe's TED Talk, his first step.
On the top of the World Trade Center, my first step was terrifying. There is no recipe, there is no parameter or algebra formula that I could give to say if you need to concentrate in duress or in an amazing moment in your life, do this and do that. It all depends on who we are. All of a sudden, the density of the air is no longer the same. Manhattan no longer spreads its infinity. The murmur of the city dissolves into a squall whose chill and power I no longer feel. I was intensely focused on walking the wire, which I am anywhere, even when I am not a quarter of a mile in the sky. I lift the balancing pole, I approach the edge. I step over the beam, I put my left foot on the cable. The weight of my body rests on my right leg, anchored to the flank of the building. Shall I ever so slightly shift my weight to the left, my right leg will be unburdened, my right foot will freely meet the wire. An inner howl assails me, the wild longing to flee. But it is too late. The wire is ready. Decisively, my other foot sets itself onto the cable. Faith is what replaces doubt in my dictionary.
Is that what it is? Is it? It's that faith that you will actually do this. You will finish it.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I put one foot on the wire, I have the faith, the certitude that I will actually perform the last step. If not, I will run away and hide in cowardice, you know. So you cannot have a project, a goal, if you don't have faith. If not, it will be like, oh, I hope one day, you know, the success will fall from the sky and, you know, I'll be there to receive it. It doesn't work like that, in my opinion. I remember as 6 years old when I unwrapped, like so many other kids, my first little magic box at Christmas. And I had a desire to practice, to understand, to do in front of the mirror the magic tricks before to rush to my parents or the kids at school and say, hey, take a card. So that sense of perfection is something that marked my life from almost the beginning.
And once he mastered magic, Philippe moved on to juggling, and soon he was spending a lot of time at the circus, watching musicians and jugglers.
And I saw, I didn't see, it was more interesting. I heard about those amazing men and women who walk on thin air, the high wire walkers. Now, I have been playing with ropes and climbing all my childhood, so that's it. I'm 16, I'm becoming a wire walker.
You were 16.
I found two trees.
When, as you described, you found two trees.
Trees with character.
And you say trees with character, which
I'm
love.
Oh, I'm glad you picked that up. Trees with character. I should have that on my business card if one day I have a business card. But you see, that's the big difference between me and, let's say, a regular wire walker, somebody who is able to move their mass from point A to point B, is that first I choose my point A and point B. And if they are not inspiring and beautiful and have some artistry in them, I would go somewhere else.
Philippe, George Mallory, the first Westerner to attempt to scale Everest, was asked, why? You know, why do you want to climb it? And he said, famously, because it's there.
Well, it's a famous question and it's a famous answer because it was there. I would more personally maybe add, because it's in there, and I will point at my chest, you see, this desire to overcome adversity, this desire to live fully, which we don't see often this day. We don't see people who are happy with their life, you know. They usually wait for retirement or vacation, two notions that I do not comprehend. And I remember many people after my walk between the Twin Towers asked me, so what's next? You cannot do anything anymore. These were the two highest towers in the world, right? And I have a box at home, a red box under my bed, which has, you know, I throw in postcards of a cathedral or a beautiful canyon or the Rapa Nui Island, Easter Island, sites where I would love one day to put a wire. And I will continue to want to place my art in special, meaningful places to do something unique and by that to inspire the one who will look at it.
In his TED Talk, Philippe Petit tells a story about another wire walk he did. It was less well known than the one between the Twin Towers. He was invited to do it by Teddy Kollek, who was the mayor of Jerusalem at the time, and it was to open the Israel Festival.
And I choose to put my wire between the Arab quarters and the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem over the Ben Hinnom Valley. And I thought it would be incredible if in the middle of the wire, I stop and I, like a magician, I make appear a dove and send her in the sky as a living symbol of peace. 80,000 people spread over the entire valley. The mayor of Jerusalem, Teddy Kollek, comes to wish me the best, but he seemed nervous, because actually all those people were people who considered each other enemies. So I start the walk. Everything is fine. I stop in the middle. I make the dove appear. People applaud in delight. And then, in the most magnificent gesture, I send the bird of peace into the azure. But the bird, instead of flying away, goes flop, 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 and ends on my head. And people scream. So I grab the dove, and for the second time, I send her in the air. But the dove, who obviously didn't go to flying school, does flop, 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 and ends up at the end of my balancing pole. So now, you laugh, but hey, I sit down immediately. It's a reflex of wire walkers. Now, in the meantime, the audience, they go crazy. I mean, they must think this guy with his dove, he must spend years working. I mean, what a genius, what a professional. So I take a bow, you know, I salute with my hand, and at the end, I bang my hand against the pole to dislodge the bird. Now, the dove, who, now you know, obviously, cannot fly, does for the third time a little flop, 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 and ends up on the wire behind me. And the entire valley goes crazy. Now, but hold on, I'm not finished. So now I'm like, what, 50 yards from my rival. And I'm exhausted, so my steps are slow. And something happened. Somebody somewhere, a group of people, start clapping in rhythm with my steps. And within seconds, the entire valley is applauding in unison with each of my steps, but not an applause of delight like before, an applause of encouragement. For a moment, the entire crowd had forgotten their differences. They had become one, pushing me to triumph. So after the walk, Teddy and I become friends, and he tells me he has on his desk a picture of me in the middle of the wire with a dove on my head. I mean, he didn't know the true story. And whenever he's daunted by an impossible situation to solve in his, hard-to-manage city, instead of giving up, he looks at the picture and he says, if Philip can do that, I can do this. And he goes back to work. Inspiration. By inspiring ourselves, we inspire others. I mean, I will never forget this music, and I hope now neither will you. Please take this music with you home and start gluing feathers to your arms and look at the world from a different perspective. And when you see mountains, remember, mountains can be moved.
Philippe Petit was the subject of the documentary Man on Wire. His entire talk can be found at ted.npr.org. He's got a new book out. It's all about his latest passion, knots. Like, you know, the ones you tie. It's called Why Not?
Like a bird on a wire. Like a drunk in the midnight choir. I've tried.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show this week. If you missed any of it, or you want to hear more, or you want to find out more about who was on it, you can visit ted.npr.org. You can also find many more TED Talks at ted.com, and you can download and subscribe to this program through iTunes or the NPR smartphone app. Our program was produced by Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Sanaz Meshkinpour, and Neva Grant, with help this week from A.D. Quigg, Portia Robertson-Migas, and Eric Newsom. Thanks to our partners at TED, Chris Anderson, June Cohen, Darren Triff, and Janet Lee. I'm Guy Raz. You've been listening to Ideas Worth Spreading on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.